Now we come to another meeting. This time, not of Mary and the angel Gabriel, but of Jesus meeting Satan. Luke's Gospel and chapter 4. Full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and for 40 days was led by the Spirit up and down the wilderness and tempted by the devil. All that time he had nothing to eat, and at the end of it, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "Scripture says, man cannot live on bread alone." Next, the devil led him up and showed him in a flash all the kingdoms of the world. "All this dominion will I give to you," he said, "and the glory that goes with it. For it's been put in my hands, and I can give it to anyone I choose. You have only to do homage to me, and it shall be yours." Jesus answered him, "Scripture says, you shall do homage to the Lord your God and worship him alone." The devil took him to Jerusalem and set him on the parapet of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For Scripture says, he will give his angels orders to take care of you. And again, they will support you in their arms for fear that you should strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered him, "It has also been said, you are not to put the Lord your God to the test." So, having come to the end of all his temptations, the devil departed, biding his time. Then Jesus, armed with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and reports about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and all men sang his praises. Winston Churchill, when he was Britain's wartime Prime Minister, said he had only one great fear that kept him awake at night. It was the U-boat menace in the Atlantic. At one time, merchant marine losses exceeded the building rate of ships. Admiral Dönitz, the supreme U-boat commander, believed that with sufficient U-boats, he could starve Britain into suing for peace. In the Atlantic, therefore, from time to time, the path of a merchant ship met with that of a U-boat. The intention behind the meeting of their paths was as different as chalk and cheese. The crossing of paths for the merchant ship was an unsought for and an unhappy accident. For the U-boat, it was a deliberate aim, issuing, it was hoped, in the sinking of the merchantman and its cargo. Such is the meeting of paths in the excerpt from Jesus' life that we've just read. True, the Holy Spirit's led Jesus into the desert, that amidst the solitude, Jesus may gain full clarity about his mission and focus on the order of his priorities. His meeting with Satan, for him, is unsought for and an unhappy accident. But for Satan, like the U-boat, it's a deliberate aim, and the Son of God is a prime target, the prize of all merchantmen. Satan's hope is to torpedo Jesus and with him God's plan for saving the world. Surely then, God must sue for peace. St. Paul says a very interesting thing. In his letter to the Colossians, in chapter 1, he says, "And now I am happy about my sufferings for you, for by means of my sufferings I am helping to complete what still remains of Christ's sufferings on behalf of his body, the church." This says then that whilst Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient, of course, to save humanity for God, the activity set in motion must be repeated and continued in his followers. In other words, his brothers and sisters, like a convoy of merchant ships, must continue to feed the redemption of the world by their own many sacrifices. Satan's U-boats are as concerned to sink us as to torpedo Jesus. Can God's plan still be wrecked if Satan can engineer that his path and ours meet? Like Jesus, we will hope to avoid such unpleasant meetings. After all, we are taught to pray, "Our Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Satan, however, is hell-bent, literally hell-bent, on ensuring that our paths do meet, do cross. Like the two beams on the cross on which Jesus was crucified, the two components of the cross are diametrically opposed. One is vertical, that of God, and the other horizontal, that of Satan. For it is a remarkable fact that the word used of the devil for temptation can also mean testing. The two are coincident, where the two beams of the cross meet, where God and Satan meet, temptation and testing become coincident at that point. What, in other words, is from the devil's perspective a negative attempt to sink and destroy, temptation, is from God's perspective a positive testing and building up of our faith and our prowess and our powers. James, in his letter in the New Testament, tells us, "Let no one, when he is tempted, say, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt us." Testing is therefore something like the basic training in the armed forces. It is designed by the general, God, to strengthen and discipline raw recruits. But it's not very pleasant, and those undergoing it may be pardoned for being oblivious of the general's designs and only too painfully aware of the sadism of the NCOs, Satan, who, far from strengthening you, appear to be out to wreck your self-respect and break your spirit. The paradox of God's testing and Satan's temptation meet where the vertical and horizontal beams cross. This location is a point of pain. All testing and all temptation is painful, but it's also a point of decision, a watershed. It can be the point, just like the cross itself, of death or of triumphant new life, which is why Friday can be called good. It is the point where the merchant ship can be torpedoed and sunk. It is also the point where the convoy's destroyer escorts can force the U-boat beneath the waves and depth charge it to destruction. In the desert, Jesus managed the latter. With his help, so can you. But what's your Achilles' heel, the slower merchantman that lags behind the convoy and becomes the perfect target for the U-boat? Can you see the meeting point of Satan's temptation, but God's strengthening testing, where your path and that of the devil meet?